Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, April 4th, 2021. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this thing, I need you to go over to Apple Podcast, give this show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and affection of this show to the next level, I need you to go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival and subscribe. It's $3 a month. Hours and hours of content of me talking about stuff and things by myself and often talking with other people. There's failed voiceover auditions. There's successful stand-up sets. There's actually a half an hour of unreleased material from me back in the day where I was just crushing it. Yeah, it's really good. It could have been a submission for Comedy Central's half hour, but whatever, you know. Just that's an unreleased gem over there. And then probably some, I think there's my set from the Black Guy Who Tips first live show. So there's some gems over there, folks. I'm just saying, say one day that I get, you know, let's say that I get a little more notoriety or I get a TV show or something and you want to cancel me, you could have subscribed to that Patreon and then release it after you see the news on Deadline that I got a big part in something and you can try to get me canceled. So there's that. This is episode 497. I have a super special return guest, comedian, podcaster, writer, Megan Gailey, who's got a brand new podcast out called I Love a Lifetime Movie with another comedian, another very funny comedian, Naomi Ekperigin. I'm going to get you to my conversation with Megan in a bit. Right now, I want to talk to you for a little bit. You know, I'm going to just take you behind the fourth wall, or no, I'm going to break the fourth wall and talk to you for a bit. This is actually on Saturday. I like to record these on Saturday. I kind of got into a groove where I like to record these on Saturday. And I'm in a good space after I've had my breakfast, like a nice cereal or an omelet. This week I had my Raisin Bran Great Grains Cluster Crunch, whatever that is. I went to the Rich People grocery store and they actually had it. And it's not that it's not like a super, it's not like a market. It's not like this market that's in like Franklin Lakes that I go to maybe once a year. It's just a Stop and Shop, but it's in the Rich People area. And they have more, they have a wider variety of things. And the regular people, the grocery store of the plebeians close by where I live, they have some good stuff. Don't get me wrong, but you can't find that cereal anymore. It's weird. Some stores. Anyway, I literally I lost track there, but I had some breakfast. I recorded a Patreon episode that will be up by the time this hits your earbuds. This week's been pretty good. I was kind of bummed out last night because Connecticut lost. UConn's women's basketball. I've really been into that. I'm not placating you to try to say I like women. I do like women, but I'm just saying that I kind of got into, and I was telling Megan this a little bit, like I happened to be on YouTube and I got into this Paige Becker's YouTube rabbit hole where I was like watching a lot of her highlights and this documentary that they did on her team, you know, going to the championship for her senior year. I was like, oh, I like this girl. I'm going to start rooting for her. And then I started looking her up, and I was like, oh, they're in the tournament because she's playing with UConn. And I started watching her and enjoying that team. And, you know, they got locked up in a tight one with Baylor. And obviously, you know, Baylor was really physical, and obviously the pretty girl got fouled at the end. Covington, what's her name? Oh boy, I'm going into a rabbit hole, and I want to say her name, because she is very good, but very, like, really pretty. Let's see. let's see what her name is. Come on, don't do this to me. Don't you do this to me. Don't do this to me, internet, because I'm trying to. Okay, this is going to, maybe we'll edit some of this out. What is her name? I just followed her on Instagram. Dejanay Carrington. And she definitely got filed. She got filed. She got hacked. So maybe them losing is kind of karma from a couple nights ago. But it seems like they can't. Connecticut's not good when you're physical with them. But I'm still going to root for them. I mean, I don't know. Like, Dawn Staley's team lost. South Carolina lost last night. I guess I'm rooting for, I don't know, because I like Eric. I'll be happy for whoever wins. Hopefully I'll just see a good game with better officiating. And then UConn missed a lot of layups. They missed a lot of point blank range shots that a team of that caliber, you wouldn't think they'd miss. You know, jump shots, I can see you missing, but a lot of these, they're just like, what is going on here? But this girl, Ari McDonald from Arizona, who was a transfer from Washington, I mean, they got up pretty, UConn never had a lead. And when I saw this girl hit these step backs and was dropping these threes, I was like, ooh, she came to play. She was doing a little Steph Curry, a little bit of a shimmy, but she kind of just did like a pose. Like when you do something on Madden and you fold your arms. You can't see me doing it, but I'm doing it. Like you sack a quarterback and you just kind of pose, folding your arms. She did that. And so it's fun. And I pledged on Twitter last night. I tweeted this, guys. I pledged to watch more women's college basketball. And, yeah, I really like Paige Beckers. They call her Paige Buckets. Someone said on Twitter, like, I thought she was supposed to be cold. She's not nice. She ain't nice. I was like, she's just having a bad game. Everybody has a bad game. It happens. You can't win everything, you know? But that doesn't mean that they're not still fun to watch. And I'll be into it. I'll be watching the Final Four tomorrow. Tonight, as I'm recording this, it'll be, when you hear this, it'll be Sunday. So, yeah, I'm into that. I hope you got through April Fools. The biggest one that I saw was Michael Strahan got his gap fixed, but apparently that was not true, I think. Good for him. And I was like, good for him either way. I had a gap when I was a kid, but it wasn't it was a pretty big gap. It wasn't super big, but I got braces. But then after I got braces, I don't think I wore my retainer enough, and then the gap came back. And then I got like a permanent retainer that, so you can't see my gap, but, whatever works for him, whatever makes Michael Strahan happy, I'm happy with, that one. And then, and then there was one, the only other one that I saw was, Gina Rodriguez. They said she was going to be Storm in Black Panther 2. And you know that wasn't going to happen, just because some people were, and obviously, and of course, there were people that were mad about it. And someone like quote tweeted the thing and was like, look, if you just look at the date and know that they're not, that it's a fucking joke, and just get over yourself. Stop trying to be mad at this shit. So, yeah, it that's all that I saw. Well, I want to get you guys to Megan Gailey. Megan was on the show, I want to say maybe 4 or 5 years ago. It might have been 2016. And always have a good time talking to her. And this is, talking to her was great. And I will say that I got to get her back on. And I want to get her husband on, CJ. But I got to get Megan, because we were talking... Every time, like, even, you know, when a podcast is good, like, you've already recorded a great podcast, and then when you stop recording and you start just talking like how comics do, it was just like, oh shit, this was fun. I was like, you got to come back. So that was that conversation. And yeah, I would just say that this was a fun one. I wanted her to have her back on to talk a little bit about Last Chance U basketball because she was tweeting about it. And I said, yo, would you want to come back on and, you know, shoot the shit about it? And she did. And this is just a cool, chill episode. And I hope you enjoy it. Me talking to the very lovely and talented Megan Gailey. How are you coping with this Victor Oladipo trade?
I mean, very petty. I don't like who I became. When he went to the Rockets, I was like, that's fine. This is like what needed to happen, blah, blah, blah. My parents lived across the street from him. And so my mom honestly was trying to like Woj inside their gated neighborhood. Like she'd be like, there's a moving truck here. And I'm like, okay, I can't tweet that out to the world, mom. Yeah. And they really liked him. He goes so deep in Indiana. Like he went to college there. He campaigned for a Democratic senator named Joe Donnelly and caught so much heat for it.
Really? Okay.
From like shitty dude, from like a shitty radio host in Indianapolis. Yeah. And so once that happened, I was like, I get it. He doesn't want to be like this is not where he wants to live. If he's living across the street from my parents, he's not having the life he imagined. Okay. And so I was fine. And then when he went to Miami, I'm like, this is what he wanted, but I felt really petty about it. But honestly, I was so upset. I tweeted about this. I was so upset about Jessica Walter dying.
Right.
And I wasn't able to tap into those feelings and I projected it onto Victor Oladipo. And that's not fair.
She's kind of like future you, like your persona. Like, I think I don't think like, and we talk about this a lot on the show. I think you are a heightened version of yourself when you're on stage, like just knowing from your work. So there's no real artifice. So it's like, it's kind of you, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think like Walter was amazing.
Amazing.
What pisses me off about one, it's sad that she died, but she lived a life that, you know, a lot of people appreciated with her work. But it pisses me off that it took her dying for people to realize that Arrested Development is the best, one of the best sitcoms of the modern era. You know?
Yeah, and I wonder, and like, I love it. It's truly, I don't even like a lot of comedies. I know that sounds crazy, but it's just not, like when people are like, I love this, I usually like end up not watching it, but I love Arrested Development. Mm-hmm. And I know that there was a lot of scandal and bad stuff that happened that came out sort of towards the end and when the reboot. And I honestly like just didn't even watch the reboot because I was like, I know I'm gonna have to get into that stuff. And I would like to keep it surface level with it because I do think there was like, it was Jeffrey Tambor basically. And there was definitely some, does he have dementia? And that's what's happening. And like, having worked with a lot of Alzheimer's patients, I know that that does happen. But it's like, well, he's still working, so he's still cognitive enough to like be able to learn lines. So are they just blaming memory loss for him? And then there were all these clips that came out about her being really defiant and being like, no, it was fucked up what was going on. And I'm like, God, I didn't even realize this additional part of her that was speaking truth to power. And it also made me kind of disappointed in the other men on the cast because she was really kind of going after them. Like, no, you saw it too. And there's been so many people that have died this year. I still haven't mourned Alex Trebek. I like locked it in a box and put it away and I'll get to it when I can. But just like these in memoriams when
it's
they have
heavy,
it,
yeah.
they're 20 minutes long and the age is like 10-year-olds up to 100-year-olds. And it's just so devastating. And they're all, every death is so complex now because even though she was an unproblematic character, there were parts around her that were, and then you have to it's a true minefield of complexity when people die. And I think Kobe's death was the beginning of us being like, oof, we got it. We have to deal with shit.
Right. It's been a, you know, it's been a heavy time, and it's I think as comedians, as artists, we're constantly like thinking about stuff all the time. And so most people don't do that. The average, you know, civilians don't do what we
Normal
do.
people. And they're probably right, honestly. Like, we don't need to be thinking about, because it is probably all framed in, like, what will people say about me when I, like, it all is a little narcissistic,
It's like, but you want people to, I guess, like I would hopefully, if my career progresses and people can throw clips of me doing something or what I, some cool shit that I did. I mean,
God, I had to like watch something yesterday. I needed like an example of something I had done, and I was watching a clip of it, and Chris Cotton was in it, and I hadn't even watched the thing we did together, and I just was like, fuck, we were having so much fun. And that's a peer, like when a peer dies, and I think we do something that just exposes us to knowing a lot of people, and so we know a lot more people that die, but it really is like, God, we lose people in stand up all the time, and we really shouldn't have to live that way or think that way, but it's just kind of the nature of what we do.
And that was a great, what was the name of that series that you and Ramon did?
It was called Highbrow Lowbrow.
That was so good. Like I had
Thanks.
Ramon was on a few months ago, and we were talking about how great that show was and how good of a combo that you guys were, and it worked so well. And it's just like, well, why the fuck isn't this, why isn't this on? But it's, I don't know.
That was one of those things too, where I had to like, sometimes you do things and you're like, this is so good. This is gonna get made, and this is gonna like maybe shake things up for me. And then when it didn't get made, someone was like, oh yeah, that was never gonna get made. Like, it was like, and I'm like, oh, I didn't know that. I go into everything going, this is gonna get, I mean, and I've had that even in my experience of like selling shows. I sold a show and it was like, this isn't gonna get made because it's like your first one. But I was like, I have faith in it, and it got really close. And then the next year we sold one, and I was like, maybe because it's my second year. And then there it was never gonna get made. They basically like felt bad they didn't make the first one. Like, it's like there's all of these other things that go into it besides just like, is it good? And that's that
That's
sometimes that's like the last thing that goes into the decision being made.
It seems like it with some of the stuff that gets put on TV. You're just like, how did this get through all of, I mean, I've only done maybe one pilot. I shot a, I was just a day player, but we were out on, what do you call that area in Brooklyn where you're like near the water, like the seaport and all that, I guess. Seaport area, and I was playing
The
like
docks.
the dock, yeah, something like that. I was playing a cop, and I was like, people were getting on a ferry, and I was like, they let me improv. I was doing all this cool shit, making the crew laugh, and I was like, yeah, guys, woo! But I, you know, I was in character, but I was like, oh, okay, and it didn't get picked up, and I think it was supposed to be like a Lorenz Tate and John Leguizamo thing, and it
And
was
that,
like,
when you hear, like, my thing is when I hear names attached to things, I'm like, oh, that's getting made. And it's like a lot of times it's whoever created it, they have a deal and they're paying them anyways. And so they need to pick up things from these people that they have deals with because they're wasting money if they pick up things from people they don't have deals with. And maybe that's just what they tell bitter people like me who don't get their things picked up. Like, I don't, it's all, so much of it is lip service too. And like, oh my God, when I explain, I'll like go out for audition sometimes, and my mom will be like, have you heard anything? And I'm like, oh, you don't hear
You don't
things.
hear
They
shit.
and she's like, they don't tell you? And I'm like, no, I'll never see these people again. And she's like, that is so mean. And I'm like, oh, that I wouldn't have, I don't even think of that in the top 100 mean things that happen.
Yeah, it's kind of like you just have to, you do them and then you forget, and it's like, but some kind of linger with you. Some linger a little bit when you see people. The hardest ones are when you audition for people that you know. Like even if it's like in pat, like even if you're just colleagues or something, and you're not like BFFs, but you've worked with them, you know them, and you have to go in there, and it's like, and I did it for like 2 or 3 people over this past in the past few months, and it's like, I usually just think I'm not getting this.
But I think it's got to make them uncomfortable too, because it's like, if they know you, they probably know 15 people that are coming in, and they're like, God, yeah, now I'm going to have 15 people mad at me. I auditioned to play myself once. Oh, and, shit. and I had been involved in, you know, crafting the character, obviously was based on me, and her name was Megan, you know, like it wasn't. And then I did, you know, it was for Lisa had a show at True TV. And so that was that also, you know, ended up not happening, even
Lisa
though that
Traeger, right?
Yeah, Lisa Traeger. It was like, it's going to happen. You know, there's all these different things. And then I think at some point, like the people at True that bought it were no longer working there. And that happens too, you know, like a changeover in the guard. And so I auditioned for it. And I got a call back, one of my very few, to play myself.
You got a call back from Megan?
And then there was definitely, like, a suggestion of, like, I think maybe it would be great if you would, like, see a coach. And, like, I asked Baron Vaughn, who's a great actor.
Friend of the podcast, yeah.
And we share a manager and work together a lot. And I was like, hey, Baron, would you mind coaching me for this part? I'm playing myself. And he was like, no, Megan, I'm not going to coach you to play yourself. And then I like was going to find this like other man that like didn't know me to do it. And then before I had to do that humiliating process, the show was no longer. But I was truly searching for an acting coach to teach me how to audition to be myself.
Fucking showbiz. You gotta love it though.
I've really started this off sounding like a bitter Betty, but
no.
Lot of love in my heart.
No, you exude that. No, I think it's just
wild one. It's wild.
Yeah.
I'll talk about it with my therapist like surface level, and she is just like shaking her head, and I'm like, I know, but this is what the payoff is big, and the sacrifice is, you know, that's just the game. It really is.
I had a really big one maybe before the holidays, and it was I'll tell you off mic, but it was a big time where I had to do an accent and all this shit, and it was just, oh, I was like, oh my God, this could be it, you know. And then just like, nope.
Yeah.
Didn't hear it. Well, they liked, but they wanted me to, they were like, read for another role. Like you for this. Read for this one.
Yeah.
Read for this too. So I was like, that's two opportunities, two chances.
Yeah.
No. And my manager's like, go ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to, say what your manager said, because I'm taking us off into a different tangent with my question.
But I want you to. But he was just like, you know, the casting directors love you. And that's true.
That's great.
I think they do like me. And they're putting me up against like they want me, and there's bigger, it's like there's bigger roles, so I guess there's more competition, but it's like I don't care about that, but it's just people that got their high powered agents or whoever, I don't know.
Now is it hard, you mentioned playing a cop, and I feel like I see you play like bailiff and like cops sometimes, like is that, are you like, oh good, I'm playing a cop? Or are you like, do you in your mind character acting, you're like, but I got into it for the right reasons.
I got into it to beat up white people.
Yeah, I want to help neighborhoods.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, when I was growing up, I used to love New York Undercover. And Homicide, you know, Yaphet Kotto just passed away. I was a big fan of Andre Brower, so I wanted to be a cop. Play a cop on TV. Play a cop, doctor, or lawyer on.
Yeah, I mean, procedurals.
Yeah.
Even as a kid, you knew that's where the money was.
Yeah. And then you get to, if you get cast and if you're in one of those shows, you can do theater anywhere you want. You can do Broadway. You could do regional theater. So, that's like you're in.
Yeah, and I guess I forget even, you know, TV is obviously like back now. Like it's like the cool place to be, and now they want movies adapted into being TV because TV really is like the illustrious thing. But when it wasn't, and before all that, those hour-long NYPD Blue, those types of shows, those were the Emmy shows, you know, there wasn't streaming. So if you had to be a gritty cop show to get award buzz, basically.
I mean, that's what I would. I mean, I still wouldn't mind doing that. Like, I don't know, like being on, like, I did an episode of New Amsterdam, like,
Cool.
last year.
My parents watch that,
Oh,
so.
cool. Yeah.
My
Both parents.
dad says the best show on TV is Blue Bloods. I'm
I've come close for that show. I want to do it. I want to do all the networks. I want to do all the most of my work's been like Netflix stuff. And yeah, and then you see those residual checks and it's just like, I need more of
Yeah.
this.
Oh
Oh my
yeah,
God.
and my like residual stand-up checks are like $5.41.
Is it because it's been a couple, well, you what, 2019 was
Yeah, I
the
think
thing?
it's just like if you do stand up on something that I mean listen, $5.41, thank you, I'll gladly take it. But it's a very different than like it when they replay it one time, but if you're in syndication on a network show, that's like oh, I mean, yeah, even when we signed our contract, like when I had deals for the shows that I was trying to like get on TV, they tell you your like back end deal. I mean, the contract is for like 7 years, basically, because and so you hear it all, and it gets to a point too where my lawyer was like, you don't really even like need to know this stuff because it's like so far down the line. But it is, I mean, they do this when people screen test too, of like you're signing a contract, you know what you would be making, and it's you and maybe two other people at most. And if you, it's just really, ooh, it's a difficult one. It's a
Have you been there
difficult one.
before? Have you been on those before auditions where you were close, that close?
When I first moved out here, I screen tested for two things my first pilot season and didn't get either one of them. And it ended up being like one of the characters got written off like almost immediately. And so then you're like, well, if it had been me, I would have, you know, been this, they would have recast it and I would have been the star of the show then. But it just, I guess it kind of, I was like, oh, well, gosh, if I did so well my first pilot season, then I'll get something at some point. And then that was the best pilot season I had. And then it's been like a drought since then. But that's
It's
okay. Then
a fucking beast.
I've honestly, I never intended to be a writer. I like got into stand up to be a performer, but you pivot, and I really enjoy writing and feel extremely lucky that I get to do that at all.
Can you say what you've been working on?
Yeah, so I just finished writing on Sam J's new HBO late night show. And so that comes out in May, and the room was mostly stand up, so it and like and friends, and so it was really fun. It was all over Zoom, which is obviously a unique way to write a show. But yeah, I was on a show when the pandemic hit, and we got sent home for quote unquote 2 weeks, and then like a week and a half in, they called, and we were days out from shooting at that point. Everything had been written, we just had to shoot it. And it was Anthony Jeselnik's Comedy Central show, so it was just him interviewing people. It would have been like something that maybe could have gone on, but then yeah, it got pulled. And that was just kind of the network reshuffling on a dramatic scale. I mean, everyone I know who worked at Comedy Central no longer works there. And that was the pandemic. And so it's like you can't even feel bad for yourself because everywhere you look, that's what's happening.
There's so,
So
and my listeners know that I was about to make my Broadway debut, and there
Chris,
were,
no.
yes, yeah,
Oh my
in a play
God.
directed by Sam Mendes.
Oh my God.
Yeah, we did like three or four previews, and
Okay.
it was like, and it was just like, but it's everybody got affected. Like we'll get
Yeah.
into this when we
I'm,
talk about
yeah.
Last Chance U. It's just like everybody got, like, some people are dead, you know? So
I
it's like,
know.
so.
And I got, I mean, not that this, I got paid out the rest of my contract for writing.
Oh,
And
that's
it's like
great.
that, it's amazing. I don't even think legally they had to do that. Maybe they did. That's how little I know about contracts. But I was sad, but I had gotten to work on the show the year before. And so I was more sad, honestly, for Anthony to be like, oh, it was his show. He was going to be. Have another season of something he really loved under his belt being on TV. And it's like for me to feel sad for this person who's more successful, more famous, all the things for me, but it's like it's not even about the money at that point. It's just about like the dream and the love of wanting these things.
It's so true because I mean the money is great and you start getting those checks and you're like, holy shit. And I was like on the low
On
tier.
Broadway. I mean, that's name in the lights. Like,
I
that's
would
the
never,
apex.
I never, because that was like shit that happened to some of my friends. You know how sometimes you have friends that are like huge and they like really blow up and you're just like, that kind of had like I had some friends that have been on Broadway and stuff, people from my conservatory, and it was just like, okay, that's insane. And then you finally get your
Oof.
my thing was just like, I want to get into equity, I want to get into the union, and I want to audition for regional shit. Like my dreams are just like when you I think even though he's canceled, he's coming back. Louis CK, he would say, like, I think he said something like vocational school is where dreams get narrowed down. And it's like,
to
and I,
like reality.
yeah. And it's like, but at the same time, I think like the older you get, your dreams kind of just like, I used to do a bit about like, yeah, you know, well, when I start out, I'm gonna be like Will Smith and Martin Lawrence. And then it says like, even you get older, that doesn't happen. You're like, I just want to get, I want to be in a movie where I say two lines to Denzel.
Oh,
Like,
my dream, I just want to be like an aunt, a friend, a neighbor. Like truly, that is, I just want to like walk through the frame. That is my dream at this
I've been
point.
saying this. Like I said to my manager, I'm like, look, man, I can be the dude who drives Michael B. Jordan to the airport to get his girlfriend. I
I think
can
you'd
do
be
that.
great in a Disney show too. You know, like I always feel like they need a fun neighbor, and you are like have a presence that I think could be just put you anywhere.
Well, people were saying, some of my friends were joking and saying, well, I think they meant it. They were saying that I should have been that black neighbor in WandaVision. They're like, he got your part, man.
Yes,
I
that
was like,
is
hey,
so
man.
true.
But even though I'm already in the MCU, so I don't know. I was on Jessica Jones, who nobody cares.
No, I saw you on Jessica Jones. I watched Jessica Jones. Well, and I'll do a thing too. Like you and the WandaVision guy don't look alike, but
No.
there are things that like there are men that look like you in
Big
commercials.
dudes.
And I'll be and but whenever I see you, I know it's you. But then sometimes I'm like, is that Chris?
Well, that's like I texted you. I think I re when I saw you in that Blue Almond commercial, I just like rewound it. I was like, oh, that's Megan.
And
And I
that
think I
was
texted
mostly like people were because my hair was really short in it. People would be like, I heard your voice. I was in my mom was my the first time my mom saw it, she said she was like laying in bed. It was like 6 a.m. in the morning and like the dog was in bed and she got really scared because she goes, someone's in the house. And then she was like, oh my God, no, it's just Megan on TV. But she honestly thought like I had like come into the house to do something to her, I guess.
But she knew you had booked that already, but you just didn't see it. So what's everything else been like? I mean, how have you been married for over a year now or
Yeah,
what?
we got married 3 months before
Every
lockdown. So we've been married like 15 months now, and 12 of it has been in our house.
How's that been going?
Well, you know. No, it's we are very lucky. We were in like a little tiny house before we got married. And then since we live in LA and we live like a little further out and we live in Highland Park, we moved to like a house where we have a lot more space just on like kind of a whim because it was available. And that has probably, saved us. Like, he has an office, I have an office, we have a backyard.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so he has, we were recording a podcast together in this house. I
I
mean,
listened to a couple, like the greatest, right?
yeah.
I
Now
remember.
defunct, now defunct.
Why is it just like you guys had a sponsorship, right?
Yeah, we were at iHeart and then and they were lovely and great and I thank them. And they just I mean it was we don't know if this is why no longer, but they like came to us and they were like, "Hey guys, you know, the numbers just aren't there." And we're like, "We figured, whatever." And then we ended and like the week we ended, Carissa Thompson and Erin Andrews sports podcast premiered. And we were like, even if they didn't replace us with them, this is still a better choice. Like they're famous. They're famous.
I know Erin Andrews. I don't know Carissa. I don't know who she is.
Carissa used to date well, I won't even know. Carissa is a very, very famous NFL on Fox woman. I was gonna like bring up her ex, and it's like I don't even need to do that to her. She's like a she's the blonde woman that's on NFL on Fox, who's like very hot. And then we overlapped at the when I worked at the NFL, she would always be coming in to get her makeup done as I was like leaving. And she was, I mean, nice, gorgeous. But when she came into the building, it was like there is a star in the
Yeah,
building. Like,
some people just have, yeah.
oh, I mean, the players were all like, woo, like everybody. It was just like Chris is in the house,
I
and
gotta
you
look her
felt
up
it.
now.
Yeah. She used to date an NBA player. I feel like it's Jay Williams.
Oh,
Yeah,
I
because
know
I
he just,
think.
yeah. So that, I mean, I did listen to it. I remember like finding out about it or listening to it when like one of the last cool, fun things. I think I went to see a play in like Central Jersey and I had you guys on.
Oh,
I
well,
liked
thank
it.
you.
I like your husband. I've never met him, CJ. I haven't
He's
met
the
him.
best. He's the best. Yeah, and he's really sporty. Just started his own sports creative company. And he's, you know, he left Bleacher Report. He was the creative director at House of Highlights. He's just like a cool, he knows all the stuff. I mean, that was my last chance, you. Viewing partner. We
Okay, cool.
I mean, we've seen every episode. Like I feel like this basketball one has reached people that did not watch football,
Yeah.
like the football ones. But CJ and I, we've been in it since day one.
Yeah, I've been with that, and I like that he's Filipino. I like that you married a brown dude. I was like, okay, Megan. Like, because when I think of white women, I think of Megan. Like you're, but I appreciate your. I what I appreciate about you. How do I explain it?
I can't wait now.
It's like you're white, and you're not
And I'm like white, white.
you're white from Indiana.
Yeah.
But you're just like, but you're cool. I don't, how do I want to say it? You, because if I dated a white girl, if I married a white girl, she would be something like you. She would be
Thank
like,
you.
she wouldn't try to be like, I'm, she, I don't know, you
Yeah,
wouldn't
she
wear
wouldn't
your
have her
hat
baby
backwards.
hairs laid, you
Yeah,
know? Yeah.
she would just be white. It's
Yeah.
just like, yeah.
Yeah, my high school, like I'm from Indianapolis, and my high school was like everybody, you know? Like and there are mostly high schools in Indiana that are just like white, but that was not like if at my high school, like if you were the best at basketball, you were popular. And so it was like there were I guess like to break down the demo, it would probably be 40% black and then like 50% white and then 10% a lots of other beautiful brown things. And so it like when I got to Purdue, I was like, where are all the black people? Like truly was confused because it was so white and like most of the black people I saw at Purdue were athletes. And then
Refresh
I
my
had
memory. Who were the hot, super talented basketball football players back when you were in?
So my freshman year, Kyle Orton was still our quarterback, and then I honestly feel like we took such a dive. But when I was at Purdue, like the NBA guys, Etuan Moore was there, and he was a few years younger than me, and he was really, really good. And then, gosh, we did a. I feel like we had a. He may be the only one in the NBA now, but we had like. Guy, there was this guy Dorian Bryant who was a wide receiver at Purdue, and we all were like, he's gonna go pro. And then he got drafted by the Eagles, and then there was like a quote unquote failed physical that didn't ever really make sense. And he is an openly gay man now, and so it was he. There was an article written in the last couple of years in a Philadelphia magazine about how he was going to be the first openly gay NFL player. And it's like, was that why there was a failed physical? Like, it was because in college he dated a friend of mine who was a woman. And, but it, I guess it wasn't shocking to find out that he was gay, but it was really, I don't know. It seemed like he had an NFL career and that it was taken away from him for suspicious reasons. And now that he's openly gay, it's like, well, that's what I think happened. But yeah, we were like my freshman year, we were Ray Edwards. He was like a great defensive end. He played for the Vikings for a few years. And I think actually, like, our really good football players left early because they hated the coach. But then I think some of them went to the NFL and then had problems.
I don't, I kind of just after the whole Maurice Claret thing, I was talking to friends about that. Like, I just kind of like lost touch with
Ugh.
college football, just
It's
college sports in
terrible.
general.
It's terrible. It's
And
I mean I hate it. This year has been I have not watched one second of the NCAA tournament for the first time ever in my life. And
yeah.
it's truly like you guys just are so transparently disgusting to me. And it's
Yeah.
such a money grab. And it's so exploitative of black youth and like black talent and black safety that I like can't even. And the NCAA is headquartered in Indianapolis. Like I know people that work there. That is a bread and butter of the state, and I just find it to be so disappointing.
It's like, and then it's like you can't help but root for the kids when you
Of
find out their story.
course.
Like, it's like, I don't know if you ever go through this. Like, do you ever go through any like YouTube rabbit holes? Like,
CJ does, and so sometimes he takes me on them with him.
so I gotta talk to him. I gotta get him on
Oh
the
yeah,
show.
he oh he's I mean he has a true phone addiction, and it's just like YouTube and TikTok and sneakers and all of that. But like even watching, I would say watching this season of Last Chance U, you want nothing more than these kids to reach their dream, which is a Division One scholarship. That's what all of their dreams are. But you also watch it going, and then what? And then you're owned by these institutions that don't fucking care about you and will cast you off, throw you out like garbage if given the chance. And so it's their and obviously it's their dream to get a Division One scholarship because it's their dream to go to the NBA or to go to the NFL. But it like I hate for them that they have to stop along the way in this thing that I do not think is positive. In most ways.
And there's some like I'm actually taping the women's.
Women's UConn, Iowa.
Yeah, I like this
Yes,
girl
I
Paige
love these
Deckers.
girls. I love them.
Yeah, I just like
That's more must watch than Baylor in the men. I mean, it just is. I want to see, and I feel like NBA players are talking about it more. I mean, sadly, the number one story that I know of this NCAA tournament is this tragic story of this kid dying days after playing. It's like that's really and then like the upsets. Like that's really all I know that's happening, but the women's I'm like fully all in on.
Yeah, because I randomly went on a YouTube rabbit hole from like Paige Beckers. They're like, and I was like, it was like something like she was talking shit to an opposing coach,
Great, love
and
it.
because the coach was like talking shit to her. And so I watched that, and then they had like this story on her. I was like, oh, I like this kid, so I'll follow her. And they had like a mini doc about her. I forget who sponsored it, but about her team going through everything in high school, her senior year, then being affected by COVID. Then now she's in this big game. So I just thought, let me finally actually check her out. But other than that, like, I don't give a shit.
No, but I want the best for the kids, but yeah. I don't want to support the institution that I think is like exploiting them at every turn.
Yeah. And let's just since we're here, we'll just go for it. Last Chance U, to me, this basketball edition, I've loved the football ones too. And that's really the only reality TV that I really get into.
Oh, not me. I watch it all.
I'm sure you do. I mean, most women like really dig it. And like, I don't have any, I mean, shit. I used to watch Pretty Little Liars for 7 years. So,
okay. I thought you were going to say like season one. I mean, you went all in.
No, I was there. It lost its steam towards the end, but like, yeah. I just, the stuff that's more compelling to me, and as far as reality TV is concerned, is just like sports. I love it. So I'm just, that's been my thing.
If I can offer suggestions, I feel like you would probably like the competition shows then, like Top Chef.
I get nervous with that shit.
Yeah.
It's weird that I watch competition
dreams are
reality.
Being crushed. Yeah. You know, I mean, that's hard. But the truth is, and I hope this is true, because this is what I've told myself, that if they've made it onto the show, their platform has already been elevated.
That's
so
true.
Like, it's they're already being put on, and then it's sort of up to them to do with, like, there are people even on Drag Race that, you know, you never want to be the first one sent home. Like, that's how I would feel if I was in any sort of competition, like, please just let me make it past the first round. But even people that go home first, it's like they still get a bump in followers and people knowing their name, and like they can make something out of it.
Yeah. I just get nervous, and my parents are really into tennis.
Yeah, me too.
And obviously they've been following like Serena and Venus for 20 plus years. And they're into Naomi Osaka, and they were, I was talking to them yesterday, and I never watch, I root for her, but I root for all of those black girls, but I just.
Yeah, Sloane is amazing. Yeah.
I just don't watch, because I just get anxiety.
Yeah.
And I have a thing about black quarterbacks too, that I, you know, but anyway.
I have a thing too.
What's your thing?
I just always want them to succeed.
Me too. Okay,
like,
good.
I mean, I would give anything for Jacoby Brissett to succeed. I would give anything for Tyrod Taylor to not have had his lung punctured by a team doctor. Like, they just have, they are who I, when they get benched or like struggle, it hurts me more than Carson Wentz, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I root for those dudes, but it's just, I don't know why that is. Like, cause football is competition, and you can't, and basketball is too, but I think I don't know what the difference is, because why I don't watch American Idol, as maybe it's because it's closer to me, because I don't play sports
it's
anymore.
Performative, but I mean, even like, even when you get back into these NFL, like when you're getting into like, if you say like, rank the quarterbacks 1 to 32. When you're getting into the teens and the 20s and those 30s, there are white boys that have opportunities that they would not give black quarterbacks.
Oh, like, yeah. It's guys that can just like if you fuck up as a black quarterback, you're out the league.
You're done.
It's like this dude can't hold a clipboard. I'm not even talking about Kaepernick. I'm just talking about like in general. It's just like, this guy can't fucking be on the bench, like just like holding the clipboard and like, okay.
That's why, like, when Jacoby's on the Dolphins now, and it's like, I want him to thrive. Like, I love Tua. I want Tua to thrive too. But like,
but that's from your team, your old team.
Yeah,
your
and team. Some and when people leave the Colts, I feel like with exception of Eric Ebron, I want them to do well. But
who's Eric Ebron? And why don't you?
He was our tight end, and then he went to the Steelers, and he was not good for us, and he's even worse on the Steelers. He drops everything. He truly needs the sticky stuff from Little Giants. Like, he just cannot, and I know he can be good. Like, I see him make insane catches, and then he drops the ones that are, like, right to him. So I'm like, psychologically, there's something going on there. But then he was so shitty when the Colts and Steelers played, and it was like, you were bad on this team and you're bad on this team, and you're trying to run your mouth to Darius Leonard. I hope he fucking destroys you. So that's how I feel.
Okay, another Indiana question before we really get into this, and my listeners are going to roll their eyes. You won't know, because the last time you were on, we didn't talk about it because this movie wasn't out. My favorite movie within the last 10 years is this movie called Columbus.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of it?
No.
It takes place. It's about Columbus, Indiana.
Oh no.
And it's where Mike
Pence is from.
So it's where Mike Pence is from, but it's this beautiful, this beautiful fucking movie about, I don't know if you've ever seen Before Sunrise, Before Sunset.
That's my husband has the box set, and it's a real point of contention in our marriage. I think he would like get rid of me before he would get rid of that box set.
Okay. Why do you want him to get rid of the box set?
I don't even want him to. He just like loves these. He's like a real cinephile.
Okay.
And so he's always like forcing me to watch things.
All right.
And there's very little consideration of like what I would actually enjoy to watch.
I have to book him through you then.
Yes, okay. You have to. Yeah, you're going to have a lot. But is Columbus, not documentary.
It's written and directed by this Korean American guy named Koganada, and it stars John Cho and Haley Lou Richardson, and it's about this this master architect. He's in Columbus to give a talk, and at the beginning of the film, he collapses and he goes into like a coma, and then his son, who is Korean, who's played by John Cho, comes to Columbus to look after his father.
Gotcha.
And Columbus is like this like bastion of, I didn't know this, and maybe you did, it's like this bastion of this, of modern architecture. And
wild.
And it's like, and Haley Lou Richardson plays, she plays this young woman who works at a library. And she took a year off from college to look after her mother, who had this drug addiction. And they kind of have this, like, these two characters, the John Cho character and the Haley Lou Richardson character, have this like friendship. It's not, it's not sexual or
love.
Anything.
Okay.
It's just like it's kind of like that in the spirit of Before Sunrise and all that.
Where they're like, we're both taken care of and are stuck in this place. And
yeah. And they're both tethered to that town for a reason, and it's just like a beautiful film, and
I gotta see it.
I think it's on Hulu now, but I just kind of wanted to see what you, if you knew anything about Columbus other than like the Mike Pence thing.
I do. So Columbus, and like I always thought of, I mean, and this is not, if you're from Indianapolis, like if you're from the biggest city in your state, you think the rest of the state is shitty. And especially a place like Indiana, like it's like when people are like, I don't even think I could name another city there. You know, I'm like Fort Wayne, you know, it's not great. So you really like look down on the rest of the state. And then it also being Mike Pence's home, and there's a whole Pence like family tree. He has a brother who's like a congressman. Like, it's not a great crew. And so I just always associated it with that, even though there were friends I had from college that were from Columbus. And then I was talking shitty about it for sure. And then I had people be like, no, 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 people in Columbus hate Mike Pence and they hate his family because it's actually a lovely, like, yes, bastion of architecture, I guess, and other things, I think, and has like a really historic, nice little downtown. And whatever company his family owns or started has tried to decimate the town in so many different ways. And so even though they're like this small town that is the rise of one of the worst modern politicians, they're like, we don't like him either. And so that makes me feel like they're a good place. But I mean, there's some towns in Indiana. I mean, the Klan was created in Indiana. Like it's not a great history. I played tennis at a place, Martinsville, Indiana, and it's rumored that a former Grand Dragon is buried beneath their high school football stadium.
Oh, God. Damn.
Yeah. And my high school, we would have a police escort in and out of that town when we played them in, because they were in our conference. And so when we would play them in like big sp in football, mostly only, because like in tennis, we did not need a police escort. Even though we had black girls on our tennis team and black girls on our golf, I played golf and tennis, and our best golfer was a black girl named Brittany, who's like a friend of mine since kindergarten. And we would show up, and people schools would be like, "What the fuck is happening?" Like they had never seen a black person play golf outside of Tiger Woods. And Brittany had like a Tiger driver case, and she would get up there and she would just fucking rip it, and it was awesome.
I need to play golf again. He inspired me and all that, but I was too late for me to like really get into it.
I
But
bet you could take a class. It's never too late. I mean,
what?
that's what it's so nice. You play it forever too. You know, you can be old out there just whacking it around, just out there basically driving the cart so you can talk to your friends. I love it.
I need to get back into it. It is fun. All right. So we diverge a lot
I
as
know.
but that's this podcast. And if fucking Joe Rogan can do it, I can
Then we
too.
can, even more so, you can, because you've got much more intelligent, coherent things to say.
Sometimes, I guess. Well, I want to get into this. Last Chance You, to me, this basketball edition, best in the series, I think.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think the minute, because I'm a sucker for pianos in sports docs, and when you start playing the piano, and then I was rewatching the first episode before we got on, and Coach Mosley says, he says, "Oh, does basketball build character?" No, basketball reveals character. When you're in the heart of the moment, what do you look like? And I was like, fuck. Your thoughts, Megan Gailey, on Last Chance U overall.
I mean, I think the series overall is like so compelling, and you absolutely do not have to be a sports fan to watch it and be like captured. I also just being able to see young men go through transformative changes in their life and like and watch them, you know, I think so much. So many times in movies, it's like this person struggled and now they're just on a path forward. And it's like, that's just not how it is in real life. Like, there are constant setbacks that take you off of paths, and you really get to see the actual struggles. This one captured me. I love that it's in Los Angeles. We're like, and once you live in LA, you love seeing LA on film. Like, that's why Once Upon a Time in Hollywood was like every man out here was jerking off to it. 'Cause it's like, they're driving on sunset. I drive on sunset. You know, like, we just get so excited. But you know, in this, you get to see a part of LA that's not usually what you're seeing. Like, we live like 20 minutes from East LA, and I didn't even know that it existed and that this team was there. But I think Coach Mosley is probably the best coach we've seen.
I think he is. I think
I
he
think the
is.
football guy from last season up in the Bay, I think he's an extraordinary person too. You know, with the big walking stick. I love him.
But he was kind of like, I had my friend Morgan Campbell from he's a writer from Toronto, and he kind of pointed something out like that. He was just like, he was worried about these kids getting extra t-shirts. It was just like,
Oh God, I don't even remember
it's like,
that.
it was just like, it was something about, I think he's okay, but there was something about him, about those guys. It was just like, it was the ego shit. Like,
Yeah.
you got to have some ego to want to be a coach. All, you know, that's inherent. But like, Mosley like really gives a shit about these kids. Like, he really cares about them.
And I think part of that is that he was these kids, you know, like this is the first black coach we've had. And so he's like from that neighborhood. You know, I'm not on Jesus's train. And sometimes when someone is like super, super religious, it like turns me off a little bit. You know, there's sometimes when he's going into it, I actually love LJ's face. Like, I am LJ when Mosley is like preaching, because LJ's looking around like, what is he talking about? But they're like, this is how he is able to even be here, is his like love of Christ. So it's all like, that's, you have to take it for at face value, and he loves Christ. He just does, but like,
That's just the way he loves Christ.
it and I think this coaching staff, I mean, they're all of their stories are I the whole time. And is it Coach Ken? Is he the
Coach
one?
Kent
Yeah,
in
Coach
the
Ken
wheelchair.
is in the wheelchair, and the whole time I'm like, why is he in a wheelchair? Why, like, when are we gonna find out why is he in a wheelchair? And then it is the most devastating story I've ever heard. I've never heard anything like that. And in a racial bias way, I did not think that's what was gonna happen. Like, I was like, oh, he like chose a bad life at some point, and like this is what happened. And it's like, no, that is the opposite of what happened. And it made me feel fucked up for thinking that way. And it's just such a collection of stories that, I mean, even Sean's girlfriend, like, it's like, I need a whole episode just about like where she comes from and how she has this like empathy and intelligence that is so beyond her years. That and this is also the season that we have the least amount of kind of help from in the school. You know, like, we have that academic advisor, but she's just not a major player in it. And it makes you be like, that's because I think Mosley is doing everything that these other coaches had multiple people doing. It's these three guys. Is it Rob Robinson is his name? Like,
Rob, Rob is,
it's
and I think he took
Rob,
like a
it's
pay cut
Ken.
or something.
He isn't being paid anything, I think,
Oh shit. Yeah,
because
it's something though.
he was coaching at a high school. At like a good high school, and then they cut the program. I mean, what this show does is expose how fucked up so many situations are for people. And it's not self-imposed. It's like hearing Sean that he ha had a scholarship from UTEP, and then a new AD came in, never met him, never seen him play, and was just like, we're not giving him a scholarship. That is heartbreaking. You think that should never happen. And it's like, I bet that happens hundreds of times a day all across the country. And we just genuinely don't think about it because we're not being shown it. But when you have a relationship and you love this person, and then you hear that story, it's like my heart broke for him more in that moment than when his mom died. Because I'm like, that was taken away from him by at the hands of someone doing it. Like, there's a villain in that story.
And it's almost like it was they kind of buried the lead a little bit. I remember going because you don't know about, I mean, if you're not paying super attention to the first episode where they're just like Deshaun Hyler, blah, 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 came out of UTEP. But I was like, oh shit, I didn't
I
notice
missed
that.
it. I
I
missed
missed
it.
that. And then maybe a few episodes in, you find that out. You're like, oh shit, he was at UTEP. I mean,
And there were guys, I had a boyfriend in college who went to JUCO after, like, he played basketball and was good. And then he just had the size that his coach, like a football coach in high school, was like, you should come and play football. Played wide receiver for 2 years, got a full ride to Purdue, to a Big Ten school, to be a wide receiver. And at some point they were like, hey, we think you should take a step, like a 1 year stop at this. It was so funny because when we were like describing the show to my parents, my mom goes, oh, so they go to like a finishing school? And my dad goes, these are not finishing schools. Like, but that's what a lot of times it's called like such and such academy, and you are like, oh, there's a prestige around it. And then when you see the conditions, you're like, oh, I mean, even Malik being like, I served my time. It's like, yeah, it's a sentence.
Yeah,
to be there when the alternative is to be at an ACC school.
Yeah, I'm a little older than you, but I think do you know who Julian Peterson is?
Uh-huh.
So he's my cousin, and and he was he went to JUCO for a couple years, like I think at Valley Forge in Pennsylvania. Then he ended up going to Michigan State and just becoming a pro bowler.
Yeah.
And like that's how I knew about it. So it's like you look at this stuff and like these kids have an opportunity to, like, if they're really good and they really focus. And so you just, it's just like, I just want this fucking kid to get the scholarship, you know? And it's just like, and that's really like, Mosley really wants to win. He wants to win and he has that passion, but he's like, this can change. Like if you fucking play defense, this could change your life. It can literally change your life.
And yeah, like there were guys on this team we didn't even meet, and then at the end they're like, they got a full ride, and I'm like, who? And in football and maybe that's too why we like this one better, is that like in, I feel like the first few seasons there'd be like three guys on an entire football team, and then a lot of them were going Division II, and you're like kind of bummed for them. And this, it's like, oh, KJ's not even done. Like he's got all these offers, and he like, and maybe that's just this program, but it's like, damn, they have a lot of talent there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of these kids, like Joe, very well may go to the NBA.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause he would, you know, he's like, cause he was getting pissed cause they were making, calling so many fouls on him. I'll have to send you a link to this dude who's from my area, and you could tell that he's got hit with his accent and everything, because he sounds like he's from the the Maryland, D.C. area.
Yeah.
And so he did an interview for about maybe like 40 or 50 minutes with Joe, and he did one with Deshaun and his girlfriend. So I'll have to send you the link. But he was saying that Joe was saying in that interview, the Deshaun, he was saying, we were talking about the villain, like the villain at UTEP, the AD.
Yeah, the AD.
He said he would thank him because he said, I was a dog before this, but now I'm a monster. You made me better. That's a great way to look at it, but that shit.
It's
horrible. It's
because like, and I guess too, like even us talking about our business before this, it's like there's a lot of parallels to probably life in general of just like, I've been smoking a lot of weed during, you know, this time we've been locked in our house. And so even hearing Joe be like, I was smoking so much weed that they would have to, and I like turn to CJ and I'm like, oh my God, I'm Joe at Penn State. And he's like, no, you're not, Megan. This man is trying to be a professional basketball player. You're a comedy writer. And I'm like, okay, got it. But there is still a fear of, am I wasting my potential?
Yeah.
And I think anyone feels that. And like, Joe's story is probably the most compelling that has ever been featured on the series.
I mean, first 3 to 5 minutes. Look, Megan, I was excited about this show, and I was working from home and I was doing my work, and I was like, let's see what this is about. Megan, I watched that shit all in one day.
Wow.
All in one. I didn't watch anything else. I would take breaks, but I watched, it was riveting. But that first 3 to 5 minutes,
he
excuses
God.
Himself and just like, I was like, whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. And then when you, I mean, that footage that they have of him, did you ever see Lenny?
Yes. The Safdie brothers.
There's a lot of Lenny parallels too, of like, cause they have this footage of him in fucking Madison Square Garden as a teen, as a 5-star recruit. I mean, it's giving me chills, and you're like, when you hear that's LeBron, that's
Carmelo.
That's what these, we've seen that Cinderella story play out. Mm-hmm. And then with Lenny and with Joe, oh yeah, there were 10 guys on the court at that time. And we don't know all 10 guys' names. And that's, so yeah. what happened to the 9 guys' names? We don't know. And that is when family becomes involved and drugs and just like, I mean, Deshaun's mom dying. It's like that. That's not a self-imposed issue. I don't even, when I hear that Joe was smoking weed, it's like, who fucking care? I mean, like, I know he's like a teen boy and he needs his body to develop and stuff, but I'm like, oh, they're making it seem like this kid is such a problem, such an issue. And mm-hmm. in reality, he was smoking weed in college.
Yeah.
And it ruined his life for a few years.
Yeah. Yeah. That there was a story. Who was the kid from the running back for Pittsburgh? Le'Veon Bell, I think.
Yeah, there was it Le'Veon? Yeah.
He was like smoking weed or something, and they got caught, or they were doing some story about him. And they were. I don't smoke. I've never smoked. I've been around it at concerts and stuff. I've been asked if I had any at parties in Chicago, but I
in Chicago. Yeah.
It was my fault because I would be like, I'm a big tall black guy, and I had a baseball cap on. So they're like, hey, do you know where they got any weed?
Yeah. People love when I pull out like a full pack of joints. They're like, we were not expecting this from this tiny white woman.
But you're in LA though, right? So it's like,
you gotta have your own joints now. Oh yeah. You can smoke anywhere.
So they were doing this story on him and they were like, oh, Le'Veon came from this, where his background, blah, 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 the typical ESPN package. And it's just like, and they were like, and then there was weed. I was like, what the fuck?
What?
It's a reefer madness with this shit?
I mean, Ricky Williams was really, and I think that was like, because I was still like a kid, you know, I was like young when that was mm-hmm. happening, or like probably in high school. And it was like, this guy is a villain and a monster and mm-hmm. and can't be there for his team and is selfish, all of this shit. And you're like, that's... You guys are insane. You sound like the people that were like, hippies are going to run the world and all the music, if you play it backwards, is die, devil, die. Like, it's like, you sound crazy, people.
Yeah.
And it's your dorks. Like, it's like, you sound like a dork. I don't know if you know that. And you're right. It's such a typical, like, I listen to PTI every day. It's been like the thing to get me through the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I like cook dinner and listen to it.
Yeah.
And I love them. But there are times when I'm like, you guys are just old men.
Oh yeah.
And High Noon, you know, you hear Bomani, you hear Pablo, and it's like they're truly just the generational, probably two generations below, and the way they talk about weed is just so different because we've just changed as a society in the way we frame it.
And they took it off. But like they're still around. Like I love seeing them, and I like Katie Nolan, I like Bo.
I love Katie.
Like you were just on our podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Pablo and CJ are friends.
Oh, okay.
Pablo's the best. I mean, I've never met Bomani, but I just think the way he talks about things, he's so smart. Yeah. He makes me be like, oh yeah, that's true. Like just, and I don't think the old guard has that ability anymore.
Yeah. That like Bo actually came to, my listeners know this, but Bo actually came to, a festival I did in North Carolina, like in 2011, because he's from Houston and Atlanta, okay. but like he was living down there, and because he was teaching down there too, and at Duke or Carolina, I don't know, but he was down in Carolina and he was working for this radio station called The Score, but their headquarters is in Canada, but anyway, he was working down there and I listened to his show. And I invited him to come to the show and he came out. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. It was cool,
Did you have a good set?
I did. I did. Okay. You know, 2011, I was like 2 years in.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I was good. You know, he didn't walk out on me. He's like, he didn't say, Chris, you sucked on the, on the radio, so
No, and they're those guys, I mean, even Katie, the like, and I think Pablo probably has said some version of this to some extent. They're like, what you guys do is incredible. And it's like, it's really not, guys. Thank you so
Well,
much.
to people that don't do it, like it's hard when you think about it. Like if you've been doing it for over 10 or 12 years, it's like it's just a part of the trade, but it is a difficult thing. It's like sometimes once you like remove everything from, like, what the fuck am I doing? I'm getting up here. I always have that weird anxiety sometimes. Like I think about going back. Like you were, damn, now we're going off the path. But we'll talk about it after. But that Joe story, yes, I think it's the most compelling. And he was saying how like he was so angry in that interview. He was saying because he just felt like he shouldn't be there. It's like I shouldn't be there. I was at Penn State, and I just like, you know, he seems to have more, I guess like. He just seems really grounded, you know, and he just like I had this opportunity, and he apparently there's a video clip of him. He tells a story about how he got the full ride from where is he at now?
Long Beach.
Long Beach State. Like he 'cause he walked on or something and he didn't get it. I don't think he got it right away. I
Oh,
don't think he did, 'cause there's like a video of when they announced that he did.
wow.
And like it was, and he just like started crying. So like he's got the full ride now, but I don't know if it was all set in stone like after, but he's got the full ride.
Even hearing that, like, he had just gotten out of jail
Yeah.
when he then like showed up on campus. Also, like, his weight journey is something that's
Yeah.
like, I think we all relate to that, you know, like not as
Yeah.
athletes, but it's like,
Oh,
oh, when
God.
he's saying I was so depressed and I was like, and you even in the course of the show, like CJ would be like, God, he looks even thinner here. Like,
Yeah.
you almost see his body start to like match the journey he's on emotionally, of like
Yeah.
you see him get into better shape at the same time that he's like not fighting with people as much. And like even when he's fighting with people, I'm like, he's right. Like
He is right.
he's almost always right. And I don't want him to like lose any of that, but like the refs are shitty to him because he's
Yeah.
big
And
and like
he's just
he's too
bigger
good.
than everybody.
Yeah,
Yeah.
he's just so much better that they're calling fouls on him. I mean, even him, I thought it was crazy that he never stopped coming off the bench. And
Yeah.
like, I don't know if that is just, if that was just an emotional and mental exercise that Mosley was like, you're like, you, I have to keep you in a humble place for you to stay
Yeah.
this good guy.
Because
I don't know.
he said something. Mosley said something like,
He could start.
yeah, he said he could start, but he's just like, I'm gonna keep him here, because if it gets to a point where he could be a detriment to the team, like I gotta pull him. Like he is, and like Malik, who I thought it was Monroe Martin Jr. Doesn't he look like Monroe?
I kept getting mad at Malik's dad, too.
Yeah, because why did you get mad at his dad?
Maybe I had this story wrong because when I described it to CJ, he was like, I don't know what you're talking about. But I feel like Malik's dad was not there. And then when Malik started like being big and good at basketball, the dad came back, which is great. I'm happy for that. But then he started like telling Malik what to do. And if I was Malik, I'd be like, you weren't here. You
I
don't,
don't know.
but Malik just seems so happy to have his like dad in his life. And the mom, I just think Malik's mom was so beautiful and incredible that I got mad at Malik's dad sometimes. But
I don't know. I don't know. You could be right. One thing was cool, like the dads were around at least.
LJ's dad is a star. I would watch that man do anything, like him dancing. Like LJ isn't even really on the show that much, but he just has really funny facial expressions and he's good too. Like he was one of those guys that we didn't fully meet, but I like knew who he was because he had braces and he was always like laughing. But his dad, a scene stealer. Like when he was talking on the phone to him, like when, and he's like, well, you know, these white people, they're like, shut it down, shut it down. And he's like impersonating a white guy. I
Oh, yeah.
was dying. I'm like, LJ's
Yeah.
father is a damn sketch actor. He's hilarious.
Well, one thing was cool that, like, even Joe's dad, and I found something out on the on that interview. I'll message you. The one of the first scenes, like, Joe calls his dad. I think it's his dad. He says, "Dad, I don't have any money. My friend, we're about to eat. Can you
Oh, I
send?"
didn't know who he called.
I thought it was his dad. I
I thought
think.
it was, I didn't know, I knew it was a family member. I just didn't
Yeah.
know which family member. And I loved that. I
Yeah.
that like, oh, got them going out to eat, them being at
Yeah.
Roscoe's. Like, there's just so many. I mean, it was, I don't know if you saw, CJ tweeted that Boston
Yes, I
College
saw
clip.
that. Yeah.
And it's like that, like, and it's such a funny clip. It obviously is, because the emotions doesn't
Yeah.
match like what
Yeah.
he's saying. But then when you see Last Chance U, and it's like, yeah, but
Explain the clip
that's
for everybody, though.
okay.
Explain
So
the
there is,
video.
it went viral, care of my husband, a few, like a week and a half ago. And it's the it's at the ACC tournament, I think, and Boston College has just played their final game of the season, and they're interviewing a senior, and he's like, what are you going to miss most about your time on playing for Boston College? And he gets so emotional and is like holding back tears, crying for probably 25 seconds, and then just says, going out to eat. And you're like, what? And like, obviously we all feel that in COVID times. Like, I
Yeah.
love going out to eat. It's my favorite thing.
But that's the
But
shit though. People,
yes.
it's like you hang out, you do a show, you eat after the show. You get more excited to eat after the show to like
Hang.
talk
It's the
and to
hang.
hang and talk about everything and talk about your set, talk about whatever. Like it's the best.
And then, so when you see these guys, like, homies ain't homies. They all had like shirts that said, like, they had gear. They seemed like genuine friends when they went camping.
Yeah.
Like, I just, and maybe because, maybe we like basketball better because it's less people to
Less
kind
people.
of track down. I also think basketball is just more enjoyable on our brains to like watch, because we
Yeah.
don't have the psychological like undercurrent of like they're dying, they're killing themselves, you know, as
Yeah.
there can sometimes be when you see young men who are not going to make it to the NFL bashing into each other a bunch of times.
That is true.
Like, it's like
But
this is
I,
not bad for them.
you don't think
Basketball's
of
not bad for
what
them.
you just said. You said you see young men that aren't gonna go to the NFL like killing each other. Yeah, dude.
Destroying them. I mean, CJ played football for 9 years, didn't play in college, but he's still like, sometimes he'll forget. He'll do something and he's like, Megan, I have CTE. I don't know what to tell you. And I'm like, there is probably some truth. He had multiple concussions that he played through. My dad played a little bit in college, multiple. I mean, that, and so that was like the 70s when their helmets were made out of like potato skins. And it's like, I'm sure their brains got a little scrambled in there. And in
Yeah.
basketball, it's like, oh, you're seeing them run, you know, like, it's like good for your body and it's good for
Yeah.
your, I think it's just easier for us to consume it.
Yeah. I want to see if I've never done this before, but I want to see if I could share my screen and do. I've done it at work, but I want to see if I can share my
While you're
this.
recording.
Yeah, I think you can. This is just me taking a fucking leap, and I'll edit this
Taking
shit.
a risk.
I'll edit the shit out if it doesn't work.
I'll ask you this though, as you're figuring out, how good did the food that Rob Robinson was cooking look at the
Oh, it
camp?
looked great. It looked like, I mean, it looked like he kind of should have a career at doing that
That's,
too.
I'm like, he should have a food truck. Like,
Yeah.
this shit looks so good. These tacos.
Yeah, that should look great.
I also love, I mean, we always need a scene of them making fun of the coaches.
Oh yeah, that was great. Yeah, the kids were really, now this is
And
doing some bullshit
like
here.
the music got kind of ominous at one point, and I was like, oh no, is Deshaun gonna go like, is he gonna be, is, you know, when someone impersonates you and it's like insulting? Like, it's not funny. I was like, oh no, is Deshaun gonna insult him? And then it got ominous because he was like doing such a good job. And I loved Mosley being like, I don't act like that. Like, that's just such a funny reaction to such an accurate depiction of you.
Yeah, it's like I don't do
I
that.
don't act crazy like that.
Oh God, this is acting all. It's because this is a new computer. Like, I don't know what I'm doing with them. This is my first time with a Mac since I was a kid.
Oh wow, welcome.
Yeah, everybody says when you get when I got this, I got an iPhone, my first iPhone in November, and people were like, the guy that was at the fucking store was like, you're not gonna like it. If you have a Droid, you're not gonna fucking like it, because he likes the home button, and
And do you
he's
like it
it's
though?
fine. Like, it's good. I got the like the Pro Max, and they were like, the guy was like, yeah, I don't like it. I switch back. Fuck that. You're not gonna like it. And I love it. It's great. And when I got the I just got this. I've only had this for a day, but I've been digging it. I just have to figure out how to do this shit, because I've never done. It's like, it's got this. It's like denying me. I
When you
wanna.
say,
I was trying to put the shit in the, or I could just put it in the cloud. I mean, put it in the, oh my God, this is
put it
so.
in post.
I was just trying to show you, because there is a, hold on. If I open up,
Where is Joe from DMV?
yeah, he is. Yeah,
Okay.
he's from DC,
I love that.
and Oladipo is from
Yeah,
Maryland.
Maryland.
Yeah,
My brother lives in DC.
he's from up the street.
I just love DC too.
It's great. Like,
Yeah.
I'll always say, like, if I didn't have dreams, I would still be there.
What part of Maryland are you from?
I'm from District Heights. When I was
Okay.
a kid, I always thought it was Forestville, but I went to Bishop McNamara High School, and Victor went to DeMatha, and we're in the same like conference. So I'm 41. So around that time, we had Keith Bogans. Do you remember him?
That does sound familiar.
Joe Forte.
Okay.
Who else was that? I think that's about it in our area.
Yeah.
Like
We
that.
I went to a high school called Lawrence Central, and then Mike Conley and Odin went to Lawrence North. They were our rival. And they were a year younger than me. But then all the Hasbros and the
Oh shit.
McConnells, all those, that crew, they went to like Carmel. And then there's this school in, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of Indiana representation in the league. Even each one, he's from East Chicago, which is actually in Indiana, surprisingly
Okay, that's
enough.
like basketball town. Yeah, you and that's basketball country. Now I don't even know how to fucking how do you copy and paste onto with a Mac? Can you do that?
I mean, I just do it the long way.
What's the long way?
Like, I'll just go up to like edit at the top, you know?
Edit. Okay, edit.
Yeah,
And
and then
then.
just go down to copy and paste that way. I hope you edit this out so people aren't like, she doesn't know what she's talking about.
I might leave it.
Because I when CJ watches me use my computer, he's like, what is happening?
Oh, that is the long way. Okay, but that's the only way I know how to do it. I just that's supposedly him, Joe Hampton Surprise Scholarship.
Okay, great.
But damn, I'm so ang I hate I'm like my dad, but my dad is like my dad's like, he'll be 80 next month, and
Gosh.
yeah. And he still like he can navigate all the stuff.
Really?
Yeah, but sometimes he fucked up the Wi-Fi on the TV, so he didn't have Netflix and all the. I was so upset that he didn't have it, and my cousin like fixed it for him and stuff. But I say, don't fuck with the Wi-Fi anymore, because you won't get any of your all the
Your
subscriptions.
streamers.
Yeah, all the streamers that I'm paying for. So.
I give my parents my
I do
Netflix
too. I get my dad Hulu, Netflix. I guess next time I come home to Disney. But he's pretty good at like the cell phones and stuff to be that old.
I know my parents are not good.
But sometimes he just gives good. up. He just like, well, I'm just not gonna. I'm like, well,
that's how I would be too. I mean, that's how I am, and I'm in my 30s, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah. I worked at a retirement community, and I was like 25 at the time, and one of my jobs was just to help people with technology.
Yeah.
But it would be honestly like, I don't know how to turn my phone on. Like, cause I'm the least technologically savvy person, but since I was the youngest person that worked there, I taught the workout class and had to help with the technology.
Okay. Yeah. The young person has to
do it. Yeah. And I was like, I'm not good at working out or knowing how to use things, but they were like, yes, by default at 25, you are better than us.
That sounds about right though. Like I look stuff up on YouTube. Like I got a PlayStation 5.
Congrats.
Last month. And I was trying to, like, it did some bullshit, like with the, like an external hard drive. And I looked it up on YouTube. I was like, I did it, you know? YouTube is great. Like, I'm marinating some chicken right now.
Wow.
I'll make some baked chicken, and I got myself some Brussels sprouts and maybe some rice. This is making me angry that I can't do this though. It's like, it's giving me like these limitations that I want to be able to share this thing.
Oh, sorry.
What happened?
Well, I started playing the video, but
that's okay.
So, but I just, oh man. Well, I'm even just, I clicked on it and I just love seeing all my boys.
Yeah.
Cause I just see them here on the side, and I just love seeing my Joe. I just love, I have such a love for him.
Yeah, they're, you can't help but to fall in love with those kids.
Oh, they are master editors too. Like, this was the first time where, like, we would, because they were just so dominant as a team that we would be watching games and I'd be like, oh my God. And CJ's like, Megan, I can see the scoreboard. They're up by 15 points. They're just editing it to make it seem like they're just showing us all the misses. And I'm like, okay, if you say so. But like every single game, I was like, they're going to lose. And then they'd win by like 32 points. And I'm like, what happened?
That's what JL Covan was saying. He was saying, my favorite thing they do is dramatic music when the opponent goes on a 6-0 run, but then you see the scoreboard in the background and ELAC is winning 63-18.
Yes.
And like Mosley's yelling and shit. It's like, what are you guys are up by like 40. Come on.
He had coaching. I wouldn't even say them their tactics, because I think that's just genuinely how he behaves and gets people hype. But oh my gosh, he is funny. When they were showing the time that had elapsed, that nothing had been said, and it was getting up into like 8.5 minutes.
Yeah. That's intense. Like that's different. Like I don't know. Like some of the tactics, like I kind of appreciate. Like I had a guy who directed me in theater when I was in Chicago, and he was on the show last month. And I was saying, like, he was in this documentary, this August Wilson monologue competition documentary.
Wow.
And I saw him and the way that he was like really like coaching this young kid, this high school kid. And I was like, why is he being so nice to him? He wasn't nice to me like that. And I gave him shit. Like, I knew, because I was like 23 back then. And I knew what he was doing, and he wasn't he wasn't a dick or anything.
He was just trying to get you to get to a place.
Yeah, I just gave him shit about it. But I was like, I knew what he was doing, because he was asking more of me than some of the other guys on the show.
Because he thought you were good.
Yeah. So like I can kind of see that when a coach does that, and the guys and the players don't take it so seriously, where it's like, you know, they would curse at him too. I was like, damn, I don't know if I would do that to a coach.
Oh, that one day when he threw somebody out of practice and the kid had literally done nothing. Like I'm sure he had been like saying stuff under his breath, or maybe like wasn't hustling, but he just looked at him and was like, get out. I don't want to look at you. The kid's like, what? And he just like picked up his earrings and walked out. Like it does. And then I was worried, because they did keep saying, like, he was like, my biggest fear is that these guys will like turn on each other. And it did make you worry, because you would see Joe kind of get special treatment, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, he was allowed to go pout and scream and do all that stuff. But yeah. I guess there was just an understanding of like, Joe has lived a life that none of us have lived. And he right. is so much better than us. Like, even just hearing how Malik talked about him, like yeah. they play the same positions. Malik starts over him and Malik talked about him like he was.
He knows, like that scene, like the scene towards the end when he was just like, I need you to like, I just need you to show me how you do this. And yeah. the way that Joe explained it. It's like, yeah, because if you post up here, I'm going to get you here and X, Y, Z, you know, basketball talk. And it was just like, that's pro shit. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Malik has those. He could do that, too, if he locked in, and he probably will. But
yeah, because he has the physical gifts.
Yeah.
You know, because they talk about Malik as a potential NBA player.
Mm-hmm.
I loved his mom being like, do not get a psychology degree, Malik. You cannot use that. Like, she's like trying to get him to pick like a practical. Where did Malik go? CMU, Central Michigan, Chippewas. Yeah. The Chippewas, that's a real team.
That's like, a good, yeah.
Purdue plays them every year and they definitely like, so they're close geographically. So I feel like I know them, but like that's a, mm-hmm. that's a real team. They have like real coaches. I think people have come out of there.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, KJ was a bit of a mystery to me because, and I say that just because he's such a good kid and obviously so gifted. And, you know, I saw when we saw him like this 5 or 6 months later, it was like, okay, KJ has, he's gone through COVID the way all of us have, you know, he's had some snacks, but I was just so, and like his dad is a hooper and it seemed like he just has such a good family unit around him that I guess disappointed that at some point in high school someone didn't get him a tutor or like because that's all it was. And then even when he was doing classes at ELAC, it seemed like he's not stupid.
Yeah,
you know, it's not it's not someone like struggling from a disease. I don't think he's dyslexic that I'm like, okay, if you're this good at basketball in high school, why didn't someone help you not be in this situation? Right.
And that's supposed to be like maybe the best. Well, he was the best player in LA. I don't know. It's weird that they don't. I don't know.
And is it just like there's too many kids? Like, I don't know. It just seems like if your star player has a 2.2 and obviously has the potential to go D1, you would want to get him help at some point.
Yeah.
And he's open and he's kind and he's like soft-spoken and sweet and has such a good heart and disposition that it's like, I don't think he would have fought that.
Yeah. It's weird. Cause it was just like, just that first episode, they did a great, they laid the groundwork really well in that. And it was just like, just my grades. I was like, oh, well, I mean.
And it could, it honestly, like sometimes what is maybe happening is he did get offers from places and it's like, oh, he doesn't want to go here. Let's go to JUCO and just let your body develop a few more years and then get your like stock up. And maybe but he also did not have the grades too.
Yeah.
You know, like
Pac-10, like now USC is still Pac-10, right?
Yeah. Pac-12? And he had offers from like nine. I mean, if you play basketball at USC, that's like that's big time.
Yeah.
Big time. That they've got a lot of money. They've got all the resources in the world. There's definitely players that come out of USC that I just wanted KJ to be able to have. I mean, USC is a tough school too. Like I worried about him in that standpoint.
Is that the hood? That's the hood, right?
I think it's like, honestly, now we're looking for houses and I'm like, well, we could live by USC. Those are like where the houses are that we can afford, but it's, I think it's gotten better now. I've been down there like a few times. It's in downtown LA.
Okay. I just remember the rap on that.
It's definitely, well, that's, I mean, it's like a school that costs like $75,000 to go to a year. Yeah. And it is considered definitely in the past to have been in like one of the worst parts of Los Angeles.
Cause they were saying like with this one, they like, these kids still have to go back home And last year, the football one in Oakland, it was just like they would have to go, what's that town? Oh my God, we talked about it so much. One of the kids, it's like an hour and a half away. The commute's like an hour and a half. And it's like, it's brutal. But
it seemed like Deshaun lived hours away.
Yeah, I think so. I think
he's from Riverside.
Okay. You know LA. I've never been there.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I loved being all over with them. I said Anaheim, I'm with KJ. I don't know where I'm guessing Joe lived close to campus.
Because there's like three or four of them that lived in one place.
Yeah, so Riverside with no traffic right now is an hour and a half away.
Wow. Yeah. That's about the same as it was with the football.
And was sad this year too, is they're like, there's no money for these kids. They're not getting anything. But I did love when Malik was like, I'm getting an associate's degree and nobody can ever take that away from me. And I'm like, good, Malik, my king.
That's that scene where like Joe was saying like, I'm walking, shit.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, I'm walking, man. Like, what do you mean? Like, you need to, you better. You know, like that's real shit.
I will say probably besides LJ's dad, my favorite comic relief was Redhead Mark.
What was the scene where the coach was like, this is a black team except for Mark?
He's like, Mark, thank you for hanging with us. I love, and when it's all black people and the only white person has red hair, it's like, it's just such a far, we are the whitest people that you can have. And so it's just so like, it's just really funny to see him in the mix. And like him, like when he like walked up with a girl one time and they were all like, and just, oh my God, I loved him. I really loved him.
Yeah. It was a great show. I wanted to, you have any other thoughts on it before we wrap up at all? Or
it was tough to relive the start of COVID with them.
Yeah.
And like at one point they show, this is maybe like four episodes to go, so it wasn't close to the end, but they showed like the bracket and the bracket had the dates on it. And I saw like February 24th and I was like, okay, great. February 24th. Mm-hmm. I know that we're still in like the safe zone. Yeah. And then in the final episodes, because I almost looked it up because I get so nervous.
I do that sometimes too.
And I'm like, I just have to know that like Joe's okay. I just need to know if they win. It's like, it's too much. There's too many stakes. And then they stopped showing the date. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh no, I think they would be telling us the date. And we were trying to figure it out. And we're like, okay, so it's either the weekend before or it's the weekend it happened. And then when other stuff started to get canceled, it was just really, I mean, it was like you in Broadway. It's just heartbreaking. And that happened all over the world. And like, and I know Mosley kept saying that, and that is a good reminder of like, this isn't just happening to us. Like, everybody is being screwed out of this opportunity. But them not getting to play for a state championship and in front of all of these college recruiters, it was heartbreaking.
Yeah, I lived that relived this three times like this year, in documentaries. Have you heard of the documentary on Amazon Prime with LeBron James and Dwayne Wade's kids?
I have heard of it. And is it them at Sierra Canyon or is it a different?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Sierra. Yeah. I'm trying to find the name of it.
CJ keeps calling it the Bronny doc. And then I was talking to a friend and she's like, Bronny's like not even that heavily an episode about him, but there's other kids for sure
top class, the life and times of the Sierra Canyon Trailblazers.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like 2019, 2020, and that one's like you see it with them too, because they're, you know, they go through it and then it gets to around that time and it's like, it's over. And the same with Paige Beckers, where they can't, like, their last championship game, they don't get to play the tournament when they're obviously gonna win state. And they can't play. You see these kids crying. Because it sucks for, Like, we know we've been their age and we've experienced prom and graduation.
Senior night.
Senior like, night. All that cool shit that you do. I was in the at the grocery store last sometime before in the fall, winter. Kid was checking me out, probably like 16, 17. He's like, when is this? He's like, when is this gonna be over? And I was like, I don't know, man. He's like, you know, we're missing our prom and like all this shit, man. It sucks.
I can't even imagine. I feel so lucky that we got married right before, and it was like before even maybe it was in the U.S. Like I don't have the guilt of like, did I invite everyone to an unknown super spreader? Because luckily no one got sick, and there were old people there. No one got sick. Everybody was fine, but to not have your wedding and your prom and for a lot of these kids, like, there's kids on the team that maybe that was the end for them. And I think what's like traumatic too is when you see them watching the news and being like, man, well, there were only 30 cases in that. In February, we all had, I remember having a conversation in our writer's room like 2 weeks before, because I had listened to a podcast that was like COVID. It was like about Wuhan and what was happening. And Italy hadn't even happened yet. Mm-hmm. And so I like went in and like swallowed my fear of sounding crazy and was like, what do you guys think about COVID? And they were all like, yeah, it seems bad. Yeah. And to just relive those conversations, knowing now what we know and being like, it's been a year. If you had told us it was a year, I would have like cried in bed for days. Like and maybe it's good we didn't know it was going to be a year, mm-hmm. because we had all this false hope that was keeping us going. Yeah. But to relive those conversations that we all had, it's traumatic in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It was just because you hate to see it. Like you hate it for that, whatever happened to you, whatever plans you had. But then you just see it in other people and you can't help but empathize. Like these kids are, and then it's like, damn, I'm robbed of these guys winning the chip, you know?
Yeah. CJ, he has this new sports company and he started making like apparel, hats and like shirts and stuff. And he said he thinks he's going to make an ELAC 2020 state championship shirt.
Oh, wow. That's dope.
And I'm like, CJ, I think it would sell out. I think people want it.
They love these kids, man. I think like you said, it's because it's let football team, more kids. And then this one is it's just kind of like more compact, more compressed, where you really can engross yourself in the lives of these kids. Like I love sports documentaries. I think, oh my God. Well, I don't know if this is an age thing or this is just me. Hoop Dreams.
Yeah.
All time. Yeah. Probably one of my all time favorite movies, I would say. Mm-hmm.
And my favorite sports doc that truly changed the way I see the NCAA is this one called Schooled.
Yes.
And it's sad, but it's also like very compelling. And there's no way you can watch it and not go, oh, no, what they're doing is fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah, I've just been so like my listeners know this, and I used to love like college football. I don't know if you remember, I think they still have it, but you're a sports person. Do you remember Athlon Sports, the almanacs?
Yeah.
And I used to play like all the video game, like the, you know, like the college video games, NCAA. You didn't have the names in there, and I would put the names in there for the team. I was obsessed. But now it's just like,
I mean, I went to Purdue because I was like, I want to have a Big Ten. Like I looked at a lot of schools on the East Coast. My parents are from New York. So I was like, no, I want to get out of Indiana. And then when I like really thought about it, I was like, no, I want to have like a sports college experience. Yeah. And now I'm like, I wish all of the athletes, well, Purdue women's basketball is incredible too. I wish them all well, but I cannot be like emotionally invested in this system for them.
Yeah, it's tough. Well, I think
Joe, I'll Venmo Joe thousands of dollars today. You know, like if Joe called me on the phone and was like, I'm going out to eat my team, I go, I buy it, it's on me. I want everybody to eat. You call up Mosley, you get Kenny there. Oh my God. When I'm sorry. I just, this is like a happy visual. When Kenny follows him into the locker room and talks him off the ledge, and I think gives like a, just talks to him and calms him down and understands. And then Joe holds the door for him and pushes his wheelchair out.
Yeah.
Oh boy. It just, it struck so many places in my heart that I love them. I love that coach that called Kenny and said, I want better for you and you deserve better.
It's a great show.
Yeah. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, Megan, do you have anything to plug? This has been awesome. This is, you got an album.
So great. Yeah, I have an album. It's called My Dad Paid for This. And then I also have a new podcast that I'm doing with, do you know Naomi Ekperigin?
I do know her. Yes.
Super funny comedian. Yeah. So her and I are doing a podcast for the Lifetime Network.
Okay.
Where we watch Lifetime movies and then talk about them as much as we're allowed to, given that Lifetime pays for us to do the podcast.
Okay. Yeah, cause you can't really shit on them too hard.
Listen, we find ways, but we're not even shitting on them. We're just like, we wish that pool boy had been hotter. You know, like we're just old women analyzing them at this point. But it's really fun. It's called I Love a Lifetime Movie, and you do not have to watch the movies to like it. You can just listen to Naomi and I. We give you it, we leave no incestual scene unturned. Okay. We give you all the facts.
I gotta check that out. Megan, this has been a fucking pleasure, as I knew it would be. And thank you for doing this.
Thank you for having me.
Of course, anytime. And I gotta book your husband now.
Yes.
So thank you so much for doing this. And thank you for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time. Take it easy.